and to be with you, brothers and sisters in Richmond, and to remember the Lord together and to worship Him. That's why I was sitting there and meditating the goodness of the Lord, how He removed our stony hearts and give all of us a heart of flesh that we can respond to Him. Our unclean lips He touched, and now these lips of clay, we can sing praises, songs unto Him that we know by faith are acceptable in His sight. Only He can do it, and He done it, because our God has faith in Himself, and He did it. Therefore, we can respond, we can sing, and we can rejoice together in Him. Should we bow our heads? Lord, we are so thankful that we are not alone here by ourselves. We are so thankful to You. It is Your longing to be with Your people. We thank You. By faith we know You are with us. You are our portion. You are everything. And when we know You're with us, we say it is enough. And to You give all the praise and all the glory. We ask it in Lord Jesus. Amen. When I was here last time, a few weeks ago, I shared this matter of faith. And as I told you, every time I come to visit Richmond, I always get caught up here. But thank the Lord, every time I'm given an opportunity to serve the Lord, I always consider it as a learning situation. To experience the Lord in a fresh way, and thank the Lord for such opportunity. Well, last time we mentioned this faith. Faith is the foundation of our Christian life or Christian living. If we look through the whole Bible, it's full of this word belief and trust, faith. It is for the Gospel of John that they might believe. Even the book of Romans, faith and belief, almost in every page, and throughout the whole epistles of Paul. And Bible begins with this wonderful statement or announcement, in the beginning God. It is a statement of faith. Not for our faith in Him, but He has faith in Himself. And that's what Paul sparks this, because He has faith in Himself, therefore He did what He did. And that's what we are today, because of God has faith in Himself, and He redeems us, He transforms us, and He will keep us to the end. Because God has faith in Himself. That's why this faith, this matter of faith, is so rare. And God is forever looking this faith in mankind. So I shared last time when the Lord Jesus found His faith in the people, He was greatly rejoiced. You remember the centurion's faith? The Lord paused and He looked around and He said, I have never seen such great faith, even in Israel. And the Lord called that faith a great faith, because that faith released the great God to speak His word, to express His love, and to accomplish His work. So faith is the link to heaven. Faith is the way by which you appropriate or enter into all of His hours in the Lord Jesus. So without faith, there is nothing. Without faith, there is nothing. that with faith there is what? Everything. So should we just look at a few verses of scripture, brother and sister? Let's first turn to the book of Hebrews 11. We'll read that portion. Hebrews 11, and we'll read verse 1. And 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. And verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And let's turn to 1 Peter. Read a few verses from 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. We'll read from verse 3. Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while it need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. And let's just turn one more portion, because when we talk about this matter of faith, we can get away from Abraham, can't we? He's the father of faith. He's the father of the circumcised as well as the uncircumcised. So let's turn to Romans 4. Just read a few verses from Romans 4. We'll begin with 16. Romans 4, 16. Therefore, it is faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be true or certain to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That is the foundation of Abraham's faith. The God who gives life to the dead and cause those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So we'll end our reading there. So we shared last time, faith is really faith in a God who is faithful to himself, or God who is full of faith in himself. Now, when we discover that is true and that is fact, we can be at rest. We don't need to struggle anymore. Faith brings us to a real rest in our soul. And the problem with many of the believers is that we don't really have that pure faith in a great God. Therefore, we have so many anxieties, agitation, restlessness in our soul, because we fail to see who he is. Once we discover who he is, then we enter into rest. Well, this morning, when it comes to this matter of faith, the way the Lord teaches this matter of faith, he often brings us into impossible situations to test our faith, to try our faith, whether the origin of our faith is from ourselves or the origin of our faith is from God. If the origin of that faith is from ourselves, it will be what? It can easily be shaken. But if the origin of that faith is based on God, God is the foundation of faith, and God is who gives that faith, then we are on a what? On a solid rock. Then our life as the Lord's people will not be easily shaken. So oftentimes the Lord is always, oftentimes he brings us to a situation that seems impossible. In other words, he wants us to believe the unbelievables. Do we dare to believe him? You know, believing God in God is an unbelievable thing. Have you ever witnessed to people asking to believe? Have you? I'm sure you have. And you discover how impossible for them to believe. How hard. How impossible. So when we ask people to believe in the Lord Jesus, we are asking to believe in the unbelievable. If it is so believable, I mean, they will all believe in him. So unless God does something, that's why Paul said, faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from what? The Word of God. The Word of God generates faith in us to believe God's Word. Faith unto faith. So, that's why when we have a gospel meeting and witnessing and try to reach out, and sometimes we face impossible situations. You know, some people, they are so almost to the on the verge of believing, and yet somehow they're still not able to make it. And so faith is believing the unbelievable. And God wants us to exercise that kind of faith. Now I will give you some example. We know in the scripture how the Lord brings us to impossible situations to discover our faith, and to at the same time for us to know that he is faithful. What he has promised, he will what? Do. What he will do. Now the 400 years of the Israelites in Egypt, we know it was predicted way back that they will be taken into Egypt and so forth. But you remember the Lord sent Moses to Egypt to deliver the Israelites out. You read those accounts, it was an impossible situation. They were slaves in Egypt under bondage, and Pharaoh was their what? Their master, their king. He would not let them go. He said no. And you know how they argue, how they try to, how Pharaoh tried to negotiate with Moses. He said, well, okay, the man can go. And you know the story. And took 10 times for Moses to confront Pharaoh. Finally, Pharaoh gave in. Impossible situations. And that's why in book Exodus, that's why, because through all this and through Pharaoh, the Lord's name was what? Magnified and glorified. So faith is not something for people to boast. Faith is simply a opportunity for God to manifest who He really is and what He can do. Now when they came out of Egypt, now there are other ways for them to get out. Yeah, and they somehow they're circling around and they get stuck before, in front of the Red Sea. Not only in front of the Red Sea, but when they looked back, in front of them was the Red Sea, and when they looked back, what they saw? The troops of what? Of Pharaoh. The best troop, best equipped troop of Pharaoh. And they were caught in between. What can they do? Impossible situation. And that the Lord came through. The Lord was faithful to himself. That's all. The Lord was responsible for bringing out of Egypt, and the Lord ultimately was responsible for bringing into what? The land. The Lord was faithful. In spite of the unfaithfulness of his people. Now, in the New Testament, we encounter this problem too, with regard to the Lord Jesus. The question is, how can it be? How is it possible? You remember Nicodemus came to the Lord by night, and the Lord talked about being born from above. Without being born by the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom. And what was Nicodemus' response? Born again, born from above. He said, how can this, what? How can these things be? See, the Lord wants you to believe the what? The unbelievable. That's all. It's impossible. You try to reason now, forget it. And then the next chapter, the fourth chapter of Gospel of John, with the Samaritan woman. You remember the Samaritan woman? And the Lord said, now if you know who is talking to you, if you ask him, he will give you what? Living water. And once you drink that water, you will never what? Be thirst again. Then she looked at him. She said, sir, you have nothing to draw the water with. And yet the well was what? Deep. Oh my. Nothing. And yet the well was what? Deep. He said, how is that possible? And he said, this well that our father Jacob gave it to us. Are you greater than what? Our father what? Jacob. Oh, unbelievable. And the Lord wanted Samaritan woman to believe the what? The unbelievable. Believe the impossible. Now, did she believe? She did. Because she what? She heard the word. The living word was communicated to her, and she believed. Now Nicodemus heard the word. Did he believe? Yes, he did. And he became He became a secret follower of the Lord. Remember, you cannot come to Lord Jesus yet not something happened to you. So Nicodemus believed. You remember when the Lord was crucified and was to be buried? He was the one who brought the ointment for the burial. He was a secret follower. He believed. So the Lord Jesus always wants us to believe the unbelievable. And we cannot do it. He can do it. Now we can not talk about this matter of faith without mentioning the father of faith, Abraham. Now, did Abraham have that great faith all throughout his life? No. In fact, on many occasions, Abraham was what? Was utterly faithless. So that gives us hope. You see? That's why he's the father of faith. He gives us hope. You remember a couple of times he told the people that he was sojourning with, he said, now Sarah, his wife, he said, is not my wife, but really it's my sister. Now when he said those things, he just came to unbelief. Faithless. And you remember the trouble he got himself into? Not only himself, but the people involved. See what unbelief did to a person, and not only to a person, but all those who were involved with him. He did it twice. And twice he went south. The scripture, he said he went south, you know. And once he went into Egypt. And because there was no food quite in the land, the Lord called him into what? The land. And that was promised to him and to his seed, right? To be his possession. And then he went to Egypt for food. Now that's unbelief. The Lord sends you to that place. Don't you think he will provide for you? If he sends you there, he will be what? He will be in full responsible for you. But Abraham was weak in faith. You know, weak in faith. He, several times he was weak. Many times he was what? Wavered. Very many times weak. So Abraham was actually, before he had faith, he was faithless. He was faithless. Well, that gives us hope, brothers and sisters. Well, faithless. Now, this matter of faith, hope, and love always go together. Faith will generate hope. Hope we can possess because there's love there. Something propelled. Love is a powerful thing. You know, powerful. I always think that faith is the foundation and hope is the superstructure and love is the what? The roof, the covering. That's right. So we need all those three things. We need the foundation of faith. We need hope as our superstructure. And we need the covering what? Of love. So in Hebrews, in Romans 4, it says, he believed even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That was Abraham's foundation for faith. God himself. Now, many of us, we put our foundation of faith in God's promises. There's a difference between putting our faith in God's promises and in God himself. God's promises is always linked with God himself. It's his word. Now, if we take it, we take God's word out of God's mouth and making it our own, God said, I'll not back it up. It's not my word anymore. It's your word now. But if it's God's word spoken by God to Abraham, Abraham said, that's my foundational faith. You said it, Lord. You said it. So, Abraham's faith, his foundation is God himself. The word that God has spoken to him. So, for instance, I believe our foundation for faith is this matter of knowing God. It's when you know a person, you can have faith in that person. You don't trust a person you don't even know about, do you? How can you? So Adam's faith was because he knew God. He communed with God. God revealed himself to him. And that's why Abram was called a friend of God. They knew each other. So that was Abram's foundation for faith. So for instance, I believe we have to know God if we are going to have any faith at all. Because our faith is none other than Him, God Himself. Now one of the things that happened to us when we put our faith and trust in Him is that He humbles us. You know, people, for instance, try to live a humble life. You can try, but you will not succeed. But when you come to an impossible situation and all you have is your naked faith in an invisible God and sing God, that will humble you. That will humble you. You see, the reason why people are not willing to believe is because they don't have any spirit of humility. They're not humble. There's something in them they can do. That's why they don't believe anyone. They believe in themselves. But when you come to an impossible situation, you are completely exhausted with all that is in you, and all you have to do is just cast complete upon God. That humbles you. Because God brought you what? To zero. And to be brought to a place of zero is to discover Him. And faith becomes a living faith. Without zero. And we seek Him. So that will bring us to a true spirit of humility. To know that we cannot trust ourselves, we cannot trust anyone, and God alone is enough. That humbles us. That humbles us. So Abraham's faith was based on his personal living knowledge of the living God. A God who has faith in Himself. That was the foundation of Abraham's faith. Then the next thing we notice is that contrary to hope, in some translation, against all hope, when all hopes are gone, when your last hope is gone, there's nothing now. When the life is gone, it's gone. But when with Abraham, who knew God, when the life is gone, it's not gone. When all hopes are gone, he said, I still have what? Hope. Not his hope in himself, but God's what? God's hope. That's why later on in Romans 15, we come to a verse we'll quote later on. God is called the God of what? Of hope. So when human hopes are all gone, then God's hope comes in. That's what Abraham was experiencing. When man's hopes are all gone, and God becomes the God of our hope. And his hope comes in. And that's what Abraham can say, when all hopes are gone, against all hope, yet in hope, he what? Believed. So you can say, in God again, he what? Believe. Because God is a God of what? Of hope. It's God again. You see. Now, with most of the people of the world, I mean, when your last hope is gone, how can you smile? How can you? You smile might as well as death. What's the use for living? What for? When your last hope is gone, I mean, you just say, well, that's it, I'm finished. But when the last hope was gone with Abraham, it was not finished. It was what? A new beginning for him. God is a God of hope. There's one verse in Romans 8 says, hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Now, when Abraham, when he looks around and he sees nothing is happening, yet he can maintain that hope in God. That hope is not Abraham's hope. That hope is God's hope in Abraham. Praise God for that. So we turn to Romans 5:5. There's a very interesting verse there. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint. Now whose hope is that? I mean, if you hope for something and then you are utterly disappointed. Have we encountered that before? Many of us did. We hope, and then in the end we're so disappointed. Just so disappointed. It didn't turn out to the way we expected. Many things in this life. This life, in fact, is a life of disappointment. You know, excuse me for saying this. I mean, In all the world, I would believe our government is one of the best governments in the world. There's no question about it. There is some decency and there's some fairness. There's some God-fearing people in our government. And thank God for that. Now, don't we often very disappointed with our government, the things they do? The best in the world! And people are flocking into this country. They think this is Canaan. They do. They think this is paradise on earth. And some of them can get disappointed. We have the best government. And yet, you know, we're disappointed. Some of the laws they enacted, we're disappointed. And it says here, now faith does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. There's something. The hope is within. The Spirit is the seal of God's promise. Isn't that true? The down payment. God's guarantee. So how can you be disappointed? It's already in you. Beautiful. Amazing. And so Abraham can hope. Because he knew his hope would not be disappointed. Why? Because behind it is what? Is the Almighty God, who is faithful to himself, is a God of hope. Then we'll look at this verse, Romans 15, the God of hope. Let's look at that. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of hope is in the Holy Spirit. The strength to endure in that hope is in the Spirit. And the Spirit, as I say, is the down payment of what God guarantees. that he will accomplish in you. We have assurance. So our hope is not a vain hope. Our hope is what? Is a sure hope. Ernie Howe came to us and he also mentioned this hope. You know, in this country we use this hope, the word hope, very carelessly. Oh, I hope so. Well, I hope it will be this way. I hope it will be that way. But that's not God's hope. God's hope comes with certainty. That's why in the hopelessness, we still have what? Hope. Because we have that inward rest and certainty. And that's why, because we have that rest, because who he is and what he promised, he will perform. Therefore, we can rejoice in hope and have peace in hope. How people are so frustrated and sickened in their heart when their hope's gone. When your hope's gone, you have no joy. When your hope's gone, you have no peace. How can you? But this hope that we have from God brings in not just rest, but what? Joy and what? Peace. Because we have that assurance that what he had promised, he will also what? Perform it. And then the next of this Abraham's life, it says he was not weak in faith. Verse 19 in chapter 4 of Romans. It says he was not weak in faith. Let's read that verse again. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, my footnote here says this word not in OT was not in some of the manuscripts. If you have the NIV translation, I think it says that not being weak in faith, he faced what? The fact. Anybody has NIV? He said he faced what? The fact. Recognizing, knowing that he was as good as what? As dead. Now, that fact, brothers and sisters, when he looked at himself and he faced the fact, and knowing that he was almost 100 years old, and his body and the womb of his wife Sarah as both were as good as dead. Now, those facts are human facts. You see? Now, they are facts, but they are what? They are human facts. They are not God's facts. Now, brothers and sisters, what often can we dwell on? On human facts or on God's facts? We dwell on human facts. But Abraham did not look at himself that way. He looked at it from God's point of view, from God's facts. So Abraham did not look at look to God through circumstances. He looked the circumstances through God. And if you look through God, then you have a different thing altogether. But if you look at circumstances, it will take you to something else altogether. It's two sets of facts. Abraham was not denying that he was not as good as dead. He was confessing, saying, yes, I am as good as dead. That is a fact. But God's fact is above what? Human fact. Now, can we take that? It's true, human, on a human level, you are as good as dead, but God say, but I am the God who what? Quickens and gives life. I am the one who can call things that does not exist into what? Into being. That's God's fact. What I promise, I will what? Perform. Those are God's facts. So in IV, he looked at himself, in fact, he faced the fact and knowing all that. But by new translation, he did not look as though they were dead. I think both translations in a way is accurate. All depends how you put it. On the human fact, yes. But divine fact, no. Thank God for that. And it says that he didn't waver. Now when we encounter impossible situations, the first thing is our brain begins to turn. Is it or is it not? Is it God's fact or human fact? He tried to work things out. But it says he did not what? He did not waver. Because our faith is based on God's fact, it gives us an inward stability. It brings into our being a real unity. Spirit, so in body, in that proper order. So in other words, Ephraim was not a divided person anymore. His thinking and his conviction are now what? One. Many of us, we are convicted in our heart, but we dare not to say it. Just in case it didn't turn out to be quite what it ought to be. So we say, I believe, but I think I better not say it. Just in case it turns out the other way. It will bring shame to the Lord. We won't say it. Until it happens, then I'll say, okay, I believe, and I, you see? And many times we try to say something, we don't have a what? We don't really quite believe it. We don't have a deep conviction about it. So we are divided what? Person. Our conviction and our thinking, they are not synchronized. A divided person, and that's what James says, a divided heart, double-minded, doubt. And because Abraham's faith was raised on God's path and God himself, who he is, what he says, what he says he'll perform, and that stabilizes him and bring in such tranquility, oneness within himself. So there was no doubt in his mind. So he was not a divided person. His mind and his heart are one. What he says is what he believes. So he was not with it. So, brothers and sisters, that faith will bring into our lives stability. Not just rest, joy, and peace, but what? Stability. Now, what if one thing is lacking among God's people? Is this matter of stability? In every fellowship, we need brothers and sisters that are stable in the Lord. Not the Lord Jesus, rock. Unshaken. No matter what, stable. Now, we experience some measure of rest. Once we know our sins are forgiven, we know we have peace, we have rest, we have joy. But sometimes we're still living a what? Up and down life. We are not stable. It is a matter of faith. On God's fact, not on our feelings. So we need to have that. And then, let me just say something on the lighter side for you. You remember in Genesis 17 and 18, we have two of the accounts of the Lord came to Abraham. In 17, was the Lord came and said, now I want you to circumcise all the males in your household. And then Abraham's name was changed from Abraham to Abraham. Sarah was also changed, remember? And the Lord said, now I'll give you a son. Right? That time Ishmael was already, he was already born. And when the Lord told Abraham, said that he and Sarah are going to have a son, you remember Abraham what? He fell down and worshipped the Lord, and yet he was what? He laughed. Now I don't know whether that laugh is a laugh of unbelief, or that laugh is a laugh of belief. Say, Lord, I laugh because I know it's impossible, but I believe what? It's going to be possible. It laughs. I believe when we go to heaven, we're going to laugh. Father Kong said we will have a feast for 1,000 years. I think that 1,000 people had a big laugh. Because all the impossibles down here, we know they are what? All possible up there. Oh, that will blow our mind. And then chapter 18 of Genesis, and you remember just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the three men came and Adam received them with such warmth and decent hospitality. And then the Lord said, now where is Sarah? And he said, she's in a tent. And the Lord said, by next year, this time, you're going to have a baby. You know? And what Sarah was doing, she was laughing. And it's interesting, yeah? And the Lord said, now, Sarah was laughing. You know, Sarah said, no, you remember? how can you say no to the Lord? Do you know? I mean, he knew everything, you know? So I don't know whether those laugh or no, you know, I didn't laugh, whether it's really unbelief or dare to believe. If the Lord says, okay, I'll be with. But as for me, I don't think it's possible. But if he says so, okay, I believe. And you laugh. Because he says so. Because you laugh at yourself. It's impossible. But he says it's possible. So I don't. Really, that unbelieving love, I think those beliefs just pass link. It's impossible. The Lord says so, so it must be what? It must be possible. They laugh. So I think we should be laughing Christians, not just rejoice. Because things are not possible, and the Lord says what? It's possible. You have a big laugh. How can it be? And it is happening. Right. Well, one brother said it this way. He can talk. He said, when the Lord told Abraham, said, now by this time next year, you're going to have a baby. Abraham, in faith, he got so excited, he said, Eliezer, that's his steward. He said, gas up the camel. He said, the Lord told me that Sarah and I, we should go for our second honeymoon. Don't laugh. Abraham believed. That's what he did. And next year, they had a son. And they call him what? Isaac. Now, what does Isaac mean? He laughs. The father laughs. The mother laughs. And the son, the baby what? Laughs. And I guess the whole house of Abraham, they all what? Laugh. Because the impossible now has what? Happened. Thank God. And not only give us rest, peace, joy, stability. And it says, Abraham strengthened in his faith and give glory to God. So now rest, joy, peace, stability, and worship. He worshiped. Give glory to God as worship. Well, lastly, brothers and sisters, let's turn to a quick concluding portion of scripture. Listen to Joshua 14. Now we mentioned faith will give us rest, faith will give us joy, peace, stability, and worship. And finally, brothers and sisters, faith will give us courage. And from courage, we experience the victory that is ours in the Lord Jesus. Faith does not spring back from impossible situations. That's courage. Well, you know the story. I will not read the whole passage. This is read from 12 on. Read from 11 on. Joshua 14:11.
As yet I'm as strong this day as what I was on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. What power, what strength, what courage. And then verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain, of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard it, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord says. And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to give Hebron to Caleb and the son of Jephunneh as inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord of Israel. Brothers and sisters, there we have a mountain, and there are giants there. And Caleb, because of his experience in the Lord, because of his knowledge of the Lord, he said, give it to me. And he took it for the Lord. And that place became Hebron, a fellowship, a gift from God for his people. For instance, oftentimes we have obstacles like a mountain. We go around it to avoid it. We dare not to face it, but Caleb said, I'll take it. And that's courage. And that's victory. Because he says, I'll be able to drive them out as what the Lord says. And he took it for the Lord. He did not take it for himself, he took it for the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, faith ultimately is a triumph on faith for the Lord. There's one quotation I just want to read somewhere in connection with Joshua and Caleb. It says, faith directs the vision of the soul. Faith directs the vision of the soul. It does not reason. Faith does not reason. It does not ask for evidences. In fact, all the evidences are contrary. When they went into the land to explore, all they saw were what? Giants. Of course, they bought some good food. But the rest, they saw giants. So it does not rely on evidences. It does not seek the collaboration of spies sent forward to explore the land. Because eight of them say, it's no good, we cannot go in. Two say what? We are able. They did not cooperate. Those who say no, they say no. Those who say yes, guess what? They say yes. So faith does not collaborate. Because faith is based on God's fact, not on human feelings. So thank the Lord, brothers and sisters. As we are approaching this conference, we've been praying much in our fellowship, and I think we have to pray in faith, believing. Since God is going to bring so many for the first time, we should not just have faith, believe that God will meet some hearts, those who are seeking Him. Those who come with a longing, they will be met by the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we have to enlarge our faith. Even those who come casually, out of curiosity, not looking for anything, and yet the Lord somehow will meet them. That should be our faith now. I don't know why the Lord sent over 1,000 to us. Why? Why? There must be a purpose. We may not know what we are doing, but we have to believe He knows what He's doing. So don't say, okay, those who come with a heart, the Lord will meet them for sure. The Bible says, can we believe God that everyone who enters, comes to this company, the Lord somehow will meet them? We have to do that. We have to believe that God will supply abundantly, fully, give us an open heaven so our three brothers, means they will have the anointing as they never experienced before. Something will change all of us, making us a new creature all over again. We need that. We need to pray for those three brothers and pray for the others ministering to the young people. They are no less important. And I believe the next 2 weeks we have to pray believing. not look at human facts. The heat, some of the rooms will have no air condition. We don't know where going to have things. We don't know all these human facts problems. Yes, they are facts. It's true. We have to face them. It's true. But we're going to look at a different set of facts altogether. It's God's fact. God said, they come because I brought them here, and they brought here, I'll be responsible to meet them. Every one of them. And that should be our faith. That's why this conference is God's conference, not our conference. It's God's drawing of His people. God wants to say something to them. Not just to a small portion of His people, but to everyone who comes. And thank God. What is impossible is what? Possible. And God wants us to believe the unbelievable. When I heard from the brothers talking over the phone, 900, oh, I said, oh no. Then 1,000? Unbelievable. But it was. It's true. And the Lord will meet all our needs. He will meet our needs. More than what we need. So let's look to the Lord. Should we bow our heads? Our Father, we are so thankful that we do not need to look at our circumstances. We don't even need to look at ourselves, our feelings, what we know, what we don't know. The Lord, we thank you. We can turn our hearts just to you. And say, Lord, you know all about us. You know everything about us. So we do pray for the local brothers and sisters that are responsible for this conference. Give grace. Give grace. Give strength. Above all, give faith, Lord, to believe that what is impossible with us, possible with you. Your word says, if we only believe, all things are possible. And to you we give all the praise, all the glory. We ask it in the Lord Jesus. Amen.